When we think of famous environmentalists and conservationists that have called Wisconsin home, Aldo Leopold, Gaylord Nelson are a couple of the names that immediately spring to mind. Our next guest says we should think about adding another name to that list, Sigurd Olsen.
Well, he was born in Chicago and did a lot of his work in Minnesota. He spent his early years growing up in northern Wisconsin, where he cultivated his love for nature and was inspired to spend his life fighting for it.
Today in Wisconsin Legends, we look at the legacy of Sigurd Olsen. Here to help us do that is Kristen Eggerling. She's the author of Breath of Wilderness, The Life of Sigurd Olsen. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, sometimes when you read about somebody famous, there's no direct line from their childhood to what they were famous for. In this case, there really is. This was a young kid who was happy outside and wasn't happy unless he was outside.
That's right. He spent as much time as he could outside. He couldn't stand being indoors in school, in church. He wanted to be outdoors.
And he was up in the Prentice area, I think you write, in northern Wisconsin. What was it that he loved about being outside in northern Wisconsin?
Well, he loved to go out into the woods and hunt and just take it all in. He loved all the animals and everything about it.
And sometimes he maybe got a little too close. One of his life lessons was never trust a moose, no matter where you find it. How did he come by that bit of wisdom?
Well, that was a little later on, and he'd always wanted to ride a moose. And so he got this idea that if he could jump on this moose, and he did, obviously the moose was not very happy. He was lucky to escape serious injury.
And now a lot of people grow up loving to be outside. What was it about Sigurd Olsen that led him to not just love nature, but make the transition to devoting his life to conservation and protecting the wilderness he loved?
Sig felt a spiritual connection with the outdoors. It fed his soul, and it was his passion and his purpose in life. And once he always loved being outdoors, but then when he saw the outdoors being threatened, he knew that his role was to stand up and do what he could to protect it.
And again, early on, he, when faced with a choice between nature and something else, he chose nature. I think that led to him being kicked off of his high school football team. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, that's a good story about him. It was at Northland College, and he played on the football team there, and he was one of the best players on the team. But he had an opportunity. The weather was just right for bluebills, and he went out hunting, spent the weekend hunting, and skipped the most important game of the year. They lost the game, and the coach kicked him off the team and told him, never play football again.
Wow. And he, through his life, he talked about wilderness and he talked about nature to anyone who would listen. And sometimes even people in his family thought, maybe Sig, a little break from the wilderness. Sometimes he just talked about nothing else.
Yeah. And Sig's son, Bob, who I've gotten to know, he still lives in Wisconsin. And he says it got to be too much at times. He just wouldn't talk about anything else.
Now, he did a lot of things, wilderness guide, writer. Let's talk about some of his first legal battles, his efforts to preserve parts of nature. What was his first big fight?
The first big fight was in 1923. It was called A Road to Every Lake. The Chamber of Commerce and some business interests wanted to build a road to every lake in the wilderness, which would have made it not the wilderness anymore. It would have destroyed it. The next one was a power plant with dams that was being proposed, and it would have flooded all the islands in the wilderness and much of the lands. And then the next one was an airplane traffic ban. After World War II, pilots came back from the war, and they started flying in people into resorts that you could only get to by plane. And it just ruined the outdoors. On one canoe trip, Sig counted a plane every 8 minutes for 6 straight hours.
Now, thinking about the natural environment this way, it's pretty common, a pretty big environmental movement now. But in Sig's time, when he was starting this, was he an oddity? Was he a rare sort of person?
Yeah, I think he was. You know, the first fight when the Road to Every Lake was proposed, he thought, you know, how am I going to fight this? But he had guided some well-known people, and so he called them, and they said, yeah, they would lend their support. And so they helped teach him how to stand up for the wilderness. But it's not like his neighbors were doing that. He was somewhat of an oddity.
One of his biggest legacies came after he moved from Wisconsin next door to Minnesota, up the northern part of the state. What wildlife area there did he help bring into reality?
Well, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. We very much can thank Sig for that wilderness area today. It would not be there, I don't think, if it wasn't for him.
And he was not, he was part of a wider effort, but he was one of the few conservationists actually living in the affected area. Was he popular with his neighbors all the time for his efforts to protect that?
He was not popular with his neighbors. They saw him as an enemy, as a traitor, because they couldn't believe that he was on the other side. People moved across the street when they met him. They didn't serve him in the grocery store. They would move to another pew at church. They didn't want anything to do with him.
The idea being that his efforts to protect nature would stop logging and other jobs.
That's right, and allowing them to enjoy the wilderness. They wanted to be able to snowmobile. They wanted to be able to take their motorized boats anywhere they could, and they saw those things being threatened by his acts.
And then at the federal level, he was a big part of working on the Wilderness Act of 1964. What part did he play in passing that?
Well, he helped craft the Wilderness Act, and he worked a lot. He worked with Minnesota legislation, but he worked on the national level for that and worked very hard to get that passed.
And how did he inspire maybe the next generation of conservationists? Do people look to him as a mentor, as a guiding light?
I think they really do. People who had a personal connection obviously did. He had a pen pal relationship with a young girl. She was 12 years old, and it inspired her to stay active in the environment. He had a way of connecting with people on such an emotional and personal level. And anyone who wrote to him, he wrote them back and established long-term relationships. And that was a way of really having a following. And he continues to have a following today.
You talked, as you mentioned, to family members, people who knew or corresponded with him. Did you get a sense of what he was like as a person?
He had a good sense of humor, very warm, a character. Unfortunately, I never got to meet him, but I really wish I had, because he sounds like just a great guy. Anyone who's met him has very good things to say about him.
And maybe everybody, anyone who paddles up there in Minnesota will think about him now after this book.
That's right. It, you know, people, when he was alive and he was living in Ely, people who would go to the Boundary Waters, they made a point of stopping at his house to meet him before they went into the Boundary Waters or when they got back. And Sig and Elizabeth always invited folks in and served them coffee and cookies and got to know them.
All right, Kristen, thank you so much for being here and sharing his story with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was writer Kristen Eggerling. We've been talking about her new book, Breath of Wilderness, The Life of Sigurd Olsen, in this edition of Wisconsin Legends.